as we study this passage together, may we learn more of who you are and who we are in Christ. This is the last but one talk on our series on Malachi. And in it, the Lord, he speaks to his people through the prophet, and he doesn't mince his words. So without delay, let's just go straight into it. Verse 13. You have spoken harshly against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? That accusation, it would have come as a shock because they had not intentionally set out to offend the Lord. They may not even have said anything offensive. But here, through the Lord, here the Lord sees their attitudes and through Malachi puts their thoughts into words. Read on. You have said it is futile to serve the Lord. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? They were just going through the motions of service, bringing sacrifices to the altar that were blemished, reluctant in their giving. These were the actions of a people who think God is irrelevant in their lives. There's no relationship. They do not realize the bad situation they are in. This is serious. And the Lord calls them. He said in chapter 1, I have always loved you. And in verse 17 of this passage, he says, you are my treasured possession, precious. Which echoes his words in Deuteronomy 7 to his chosen. But they could not hear him. You know when you're on the phone chatting away to someone, having a really good conversation, and then there's signalling problems, there's interference. It happened to me the other week. Like, it's really frustrating. And the other person the other person's voice starts to get muffled. And then they say, can you hear me? And you say, not really. And then you do that a few times. They keep talking. You're still struggling to hear what they're saying. And then, I don't know about you, but in the end, I just give up. It's a bit like that. God was there with his people, calling them, but they could not hear him. So they carried on going through the motions of service and living life as if he was not there. Malachi is speaking here to a people who believe God is distant during what was a relatively uneventful period of Israel's history. So they said, it is futile to serve the Lord. What is the point? I grew up in New Southgate, which is in the very north of London, in a non-Christian household. And we didn't even get sent to Sunday school. And my dad, he worked really hard. He had several business ventures. There was the corner shop, the laundrette, and a minicab firm. And he just kept going and working till he was well into his 70s. But when he actually started to slow the pace down a bit, he actually revealed to me one day that he was raised in the church. He was an altar boy, and he was dedicated. This was a very, very important part of his childhood. Yet he never felt the need to tell us, to tell me, or to tell us about God. It is possible for someone to go to church regularly, believe in Jesus, even to have been baptized by full immersion. It is possible for such a person to further along the line not feel the connection. It is possible for someone to do church, go out of a habit, and it is also possible, sadly, for someone to lose that habit. Wherever your faith is right now, or mine, even if you're full of joy, we cannot be complacent, because something could be around the corner that would try and snatch our faith away. Look at Job. God is patient. In our passage, he rebukes his people, yes, but he has not forgotten them. He hasn't finished with them. He's still calling them here through Malachi the prophet. And my dad, even though he turned away, lost his faith, the Lord continued calling him. And my dad made a fresh commitment after 60 years of silence. Amen. God is patient, and his mercy overflows. And he calls us, calls you and me to Jesus. If we know him already, into a deeper relationship with him, says in John 15, remain in me and I will remain in you. It is in his presence, as we worship and pray, we can find blessing and real fruit. And while God is calling, there is still hope. Back to our passage. Life wasn't easy for Malachi's audience. And it was made all the more worse because they could see the nations around them doing okay, even prospering. And as far as the Israelites were concerned, God did nothing. Malachi puts their thoughts into words in verse 15. But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly evildoers prosper. And even when they put God to the test, they get away with it. Today, people live by the values of the world. The I want it now attitude is the norm. There's a real sense of entitlement. And we, of course, we live and work within that environment, don't we? So as we seek to live out our lives of faith, we will be affected in some way. We can get pulled into it, sucked in, or envy it. The psalmist wrote, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. They're healthy, strong. Pride they wear as a necklace. Psalm 73. But at other times, we can feel resentment. I know I can. The other week, I was watching TV quite late. I don't usually, but there was a really brilliant program on. And during every commercial break were these adverts. They just popped up for online gambling. And but they were really bright, and it was, they just portrayed people laughing together, having fun. It was a real party atmosphere. And one slogan actually said, "Join in, you are worth it." I was so mad. The target audience are the lonely, the poor, and those battling, struggling with addictions. And then I thought of the shareholders, making millions, living in their smart houses, sending their children to the best schools, forcing their way into people's living rooms through that TV screen, and screwing up their lives. Basically, that's what they do. Like I said, seeing that advert made me angry. Some of us might know someone in the workplace who was so bent on succeeding, climbing that ladder, which is okay, but they have little time to have regard for others. It's the way of the world. In our passage, Malachi's audience think God tolerates the wicked, that he's not bothered because he's not doing anything. But God is not tolerant. God has never been tolerant. God is patient. Those people whose actions can make our blood boil. They accumulate things, money, seek fame because they're desperate for security, and they're just desperate for significance. The Lord is patient. He wants them to hear the gospel. Now, I just want to be clear on one thing. I'm not saying that everyone, all unbelievers are wicked, because that's just not the case. But if they don't have a doctrine of judgment, if they don't know that Jesus will return one day as judge, then all they're left with is, I can do what I want in this life. If you're not in Jesus, your sin is on you. But God's love is big enough, tall enough, wide enough, deep enough to even welcome dictators like Adolf Hitler if at the 11th hour on their deathbed they repent and turn to him. God calls the lost. But the day will come when he stops calling, when Jesus returns to be king and judge. But while God is calling, there is hope. Back to our passage. Verse 16, which reads, "Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and he heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name." The people in this group, They had the same struggles as the rest of their community, whom Malachi was talking to them all. But they heard the Lord and responded. They chose to live under his lordship, his authority. And we read, they talked with each other, wrote their names on a scroll. I love that. And the Lord calls them my treasured possession, precious. Verse 17. When we meet with others who share the same spiritual bonds with us, Christ in me, Christ in you, by his Spirit, we have all we need. All we need to be encouraged in faith. So no matter what's going on for us, we can stand strong in the world. We might wobble sometimes, that's reality, but not be swayed. The gospel is like a jigsaw puzzle. We need all the pieces. Creation, cross, resurrection, redemption. If one piece is missing, it crumbles, it falls apart. Fellowship is so important. Proverbs 37. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Question. Do you meet with others regularly? Brothers and sisters in Christ, and not just on Sundays. We're coming to the end now. This morning, we basically saw something of God's character, which he reveals to Moses on the mountain in Exodus 34. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And we saw how he calls us into a deeper relationship with him and says, remain in me and I will remain in you, John 15. We saw how he calls the lost and offers us all, each and every one of us, what we do not deserve. And while God is calling, there is still hope. We are his treasured possession. Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. How do we respond? Worship, praise him, sing hallelujah, meet with others regularly, read scripture, pick up our cross and follow him, and pray. Bring your concerns to the Lord. Today, this morning, there's an opportunity during communion. Bring into his presence that situation, that person on your heart, that need. Holy Spirit enables us, intercedes on our behalf, so we can bring our prayers to him anytime, any place, anywhere. Creator God is able to weave our concerns into his purposes, his eternal purposes and plans, which are good. So pray, even when you're not feeling like it, because God listens and he hears. What an honor. What a privilege to be under his lordship, his authority. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you for your word through Malachi, which is so relevant here to us today. Father, we pray that we remain in you. Lord, hear our prayer. Amen.